Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Good morning. Good morning. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer, your Profitability Evangelist. Good morning. Thank you for listening in. E3C, this show, the Passion Entrepreneur, we teach you, we show you how to maximize your profits, your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and the principles, and we share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Now, a couple weeks ago, we had Dr. Robert Joseph on the show, my technology guru, Dr. Robert Joseph. Better way to mention that he graduated from MIT and has got a doctorate from Carnegie Mellon in artificial intelligence. Okay, maybe I didn't say all that, but I'm saying it now. Anyway, he was on the show introducing the free software. Did I say free? It's free. Free software, open source software called Website Baker that can be used to build a better website. The websites you have, no good. It's Web 2, 1.0 websites. Ah, no. Go to 2.0 and 3.0. So that's what we're talking about. We're going to go deeper into open source software and this Website Baker and how you can utilize it. So let's talk and let's see how we can use this free open source software. Did I say free? Free. Great. Free. To promote, engage, encourage, and build your community. How can we do that? Better yet, how can we use the software to attract more visitors and get them flocking to your website? Here's another question. What can you do to inform them? You've got to keep them educated, ladies and gentlemen. And then how can you keep them on your site? And probably more importantly, what tools can you use to get visitors to buy from you? It's not all about selling now. It's about buying. So on the show, we have Dr. Robert Joseph, my technology guru. Welcome, Robert. Welcome back.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Well, let's talk about this stuff. We talked about the open source software, Website Baker, that entrepreneurs should be using. If you're passionate entrepreneurs, you should be using it. So let's just give an overview again of what this open source software is all about. Define open source, and then let's talk about the big picture of what it offers.
Fantastic.
And then we'll go into the greater detail about the questions that I pose to the listeners.
Okay. Well, open source software means that you actually have a whole community of people working on the software to improve it, and it's usable by anybody. Open source software is usually under what's called a GNU license, which means that you have full rights to not just use the software, but if you are a programmer, you can actually modify the software. So what you have is a whole group of programmers all over the world improving the software and giving it away to the community to use. And Website Baker, you talked about, and I talk about a lot, is an open source content management system. So what that means in layman's terms is that it allows you to build websites very quickly, very easily, and with no software that you have to install on your machine. It's just amazing.
Now, aren't you kind of giving away the bank? Isn't this like a secret? That why are you on here talking about something that's free?
Because our motto is to empower entrepreneurs through technology. And this is a technology that actually allows entrepreneurs to build their own website in their own environment and be able to maintain and modify it. And I don't mean just modify it by changing a word here or there, which they can do very easily, but I mean modify it by adding new pages, adding a new structure to your website, adding even a new look and feel on your website, and adding specific modules that help increase traffic and help increase profitability.
Okay. Now, that sounds good, all and well, but realistically, can entrepreneurs really use this website or the software to build a better website?
I know, it sounds like, you know, every other ad out there. But seriously, if you go to our website, and that's www.bluelife, G-L-U-L-I-F-E, G as in good, L as in love, U as in umbrella, and then life, you'll see on there a video in which we show people how to build an e-commerce website in under 5 minutes. It's a 4.5-minute video. And from that, you'll see how to build a 4-page website in 4.5 minutes. Now, just think what you can do in an hour.
Oh, wow. Or all night.
Yeah.
It's cheaper, too. Okay, I promised the listeners that we would dig deep into Website Baker, and let's talk about some of the functions or the functionality that Website Baker has.
Yeah.
The first one, I think, might be, because we always want to promote ourselves and attract people, blog. It's blogging capabilities, correct? Because I use Website Baker for my websites. So let's talk about that. So blogging is one function that you have within this website. What is a blog?
Yes, a blog is basically an online diary, and it's where you get to tell your visitors to your website what are your different opinions about things, or tell them about how they can improve what it is that they're trying to improve that relates to either your products or it doesn't even relate to your products. But blogging is an easy way for you to periodically just check in with your customers and say, hey, here's something that I think, or here's something that might also help you that I've learned. And it's a very nice environment because all you're doing is writing, and it'll do all the formatting and putting in the right look and feel for your website.
Right. It sounds simple enough. Now, blogging. So are you saying that most websites don't have a blog?
A lot of websites don't. It's a new trend that's starting up now. It's been going on for a while. But what you find nowadays, I think, too, is that you'll have people that have a blog someplace else, and then they'll have a website. And so, you know, the jury's still out on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. My thoughts are, you know, it'd be nice to have a blog on your site where people are going so that they can get your information right there. And
that's good to mention,
also, you have also more capabilities with a website than you do with a blog site.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I do have an off-site, I guess, blog. I created that last year and been maintaining because I just want to get into it. I guess eventually I'll put all this stuff together because my podcast page is another website also. So, okay, look, so we're talking about a blog, and how can you use a blog to promote yourself again?
Well, one of the things, and I know this show is on public relationship, or PR.
Matter of fact, that's the next half hour we're going to have Jeff Capernegro on the show. Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
And blogging is a great way to give the public the image that you want to give them of your company. So in a blog, you can talk about maybe your company, and how the employees like your company, some of the things you're doing for the employees. You can talk about in the blog opinions that you have on a particular issue that's out there that you want to take a stand on. Or you can talk about some of the other nice things that your company's doing, like if they're doing a fundraiser or something like that. You can talk about it in the blog and say, you know, hey, this is a worthy cause. We're supporting it, and this is how – you know, you as a visitor to our website can get involved in that.
So you're a computer scientist by trade. Isn't it just enough that people have a website and that's it? They got to do some blogging stuff, and can't they just focus on their business and their clients or the customers?
Oh yeah, I think that all you need for advertising is just to, you know, buy a billboard, just put it up there, and the people will come.
Yeah.
I'm being a little bit facetious here, but, you know, websites and all this new media is just like any other type of advertisement and marketing. You've got to work it. You've got to continually get out there, let people know who you are. I mean, if McDonald's doesn't do a McDonald's ad, people will stop going to McDonald's. That's why you see it. It is always refreshing it. It's always new. It's always coming up with some other thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. And I'm playing devil's advocate with you a little bit because, you know, I do have a blog, and on my social business network, there's blogging capabilities of the blog there also. But here's the thing. I think times have changed, and we'll talk a little bit about it in the second hour with Jeff. There's this push versus pull marketing. Push marketing is kind of like this old school. It's the advertising, put the billboard up, the radio advertisements, the newspaper advertisements, television. You know, that's interruption marketing. Somebody's interrupting you on what you're doing, what you love to do, what you should be doing, to say, listen to us, we want to sell you something.
Yeah.
And the goal is to sell you, sell to you. Now, that's push marketing. Now, pull marketing is all based on search and interest. And everybody knows about Google, so you Google something to find out about a company or a product, or you're looking at an article, or there's some interest there, or maybe Yahoo or Ask.com. So that's one part of the search. The other thing is when people are searching for you, you've got to have stuff out there. And we talked with Mike Silverman, the Silver Web Solutions, last week about you have to build a web presence. Now, you've got to have podcasts, you've got to have blogs, you've got to have wikis, you've got to have, you know, participate in the social online network stuff. What that is search interest marketing. And that allows people to search and to gather information. So you can build a website. Most people, when you ask the question, do you want to be sold or do you want to buy? Most people say, I want to buy. So you've got to give people give them a feeling for who you are, what your products are, your comments and stuff, so they can find you. It's not good if somebody Googles you and they got maybe, or they can't find you. You're not on the top of the list. So that's very, very important. So blogging is, in fact, good for you. So you should have a blog on your website, and this open source software can help you with that.
Okay. The other thing I want to point out, too, is that for some people it could seem overwhelming, all the things that are out there and all the different technologies that are there for your usage. My advice to people is you don't have to do everything at one time. You can start slow. You might start with blogging and see how that works for you. And then you might go into a podcast or a radio show like this one or something like that and see how that works for you. So don't just say, oh, my goodness, I've got to just jump in and do everything. Just start small. Say, I'm going to do this one thing. I want to put up a website and have it be interactive where I get forms or other surveys or things like that coming in. Then I might want to go and I want to do some blogging. And then I might want to go and I want to do some podcast. But you don't have to do it all at one time.
I felt like that. I had a friend of mine suggest I start doing a podcast last year. I said, okay. And then a month later, he said, now you got to do – I'm sorry. He said, I have to do a blog. I said, okay, yeah, I like to write. That's good. And then, you know, 30 days later, maybe less than that, he said, okay, now you got to do past – podcast, and that's the end thing. I said, oh, man, come on. I'm just trying to focus on my business. I don't have time for this, but it really helped me to organize my thoughts and come up with new ideas on how to relate to my clients and how to attract more people. So let's go on. So you got blogging within Website Baker, but you also have forums. How can forums be used within Website Baker?
Well, forums are a way of gathering people of like mind to talk about things that they're interested in. And forums can be used to have people discuss particular topics, whether it's politics, whether it's cooking, whether it's dating, whatever the topic is, there's a forum for that. And you can create an own forum around your industry. So let's say you're a realtor, and you might want to create a forum of realtors in the Atlanta area, since we're here in the Atlanta area. That could be a place where people gather on the web and talk about real estate issues, or home buyers forum, or different types of forums like that.
And again, are you saying that most websites don't have forums within their sites?
Some do, some don't. You know, it's really, I think it depends on the company that's building the website. It depends on their industry, and it depends on where the company thinks they should devote most of their time.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So a forum is there, and that's, you know, when you build a website, that's, you're thinking that if you build the website, they'll come. That's what I call Web 1.0 strategy. But one Web 2.0 strategy is let's engage you, let's inform you, let's have a two-way conversation versus a one-way conversation. So that's good. So you got you have forums on Website Baker.
Yes.
Okay, and I do because we have I have a forum on my website. Excellent, excellent. Okay, let's go on. What's the other one? Calendars. People have events that they're doing. Maybe they're speaking engagements. That's another thing that Website Baker has, correct?
It does. And the nice thing about it is that Website Baker has these modules that are very self-contained, and they roll into the overall structure of the system. And what I mean by that is that when you want to create a page that's a calendar, then you create a page and you have it with a calendar module in one of the sections. And then that calendar, as you add events to the calendar, they pop up on the screen and you can put a little description there on those events. And it's easy for people to use and easy for people to find out where your company is going to be or where your CEO might be giving a talk or where you might be giving a talk if you're a small company. And so the person that is running the company actually has control over their own destiny. They don't have to wait for a webmaster or something like that. And if the person that's, that runs the company doesn't have time to do it, you can delegate it to somebody that is not a webmaster. Somebody that is your assistant or something like that can maintain your website for you without having to go to a third party and say, okay, webmaster, I know I told you a week ago that I needed this, but I really, 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 really need it.
Yeah, you have to beg and provide cookies, promise your firstborn son, you know, you're kind of held hostage there. But, yeah, I use the software for – I have an event calendar, and so people know, you know, where I am. So, and it's nice. It's a way to, again, promote what you're doing and let people know that you're busy.
Yeah.
So what else is that? Think you have a news module?
Yeah, a lot of times companies are doing press releases or other newsworthy items. And, you know, if you're going to be putting it out there for, you know, the news people, then you also want to have that on your website, too. I mean, because that's where people look first to find out more about you. So it has a nice little news module in which all you do is you put in the news information, and it'll format it for you and put it in a nice, easy-to-read news format.
You know, that's interesting. I think I'm using that. I'm not sure if I'm using that or not. I think I am. That's because if you're trying to promote yourself, you're trying to create some interest, you got to make some news for yourself, and you got to put it on your website so people can find it.
Yeah.
And it kind of reinforces that, yes, you are good, you walk on water, and everybody else knows it, or I'm joking about that, but everybody sees that other people are interested in you and they're interviewing you, so that creates some really nice buzz, if you will.
Yes, yeah.
Now, what about, is Inline Wrapper, is that a good module?
The Inline Wrapper module, or the Wrapper module, allows you to integrate other websites in Website Baker in a very seamless way. And
That sounds kind of good. You can put wrap another website around a website.
Yes, but you have to get the other websites. Well, you don't have to, but it's good to get the other websites' permission too.
Okay.
So sites are
there's etiquette on partners. The website on internet. Okay, that's interesting. Etiquette.
Yes, there is. There's a whole set of etiquette on the internet, and some of it's by word of mouth, and some of it's just common sense. So. The common sense stuff is you don't steal other people's stuff.
No, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to advocate that. Definitely, definitely. Okay, so this inline wrapper is used for what?
Just embedding other people's websites in yours. So let's say, you know, that I wanted to put your website in the body of mine. I can use an inline wrapper and refer to your website, and then, boom, there it is in the body. Pretty neat.
Now, I'm not really using that one. That's really interesting. How are people using that?
Well, we've been talking about websites as a front end or as a, this is what the general public can see and use. But a lot of the work that we do actually is on the back end. And so on the back end, we use inline wrappers a lot because we want to embed other websites that allow us to do things. So, like, for instance, if we are running a newsletter, then we'll use a particular company that specializes in newsletter. So on our back end or behind our website, we'll have an inline wrapper in which we'll have that website in our environment so that I don't have to go to that website and click on it and do it. I can just, from my own website, just click and do the things I need to do for the newsletter, or do the things I need to do for the hosting, or do the things I need to do for whatever other third-party website that we're using. So it really makes it convenient for us to use on what we call the back-end part, the part that runs our company, not the part that people see.
Okay, so and I learned this last year when I built my two websites from scratch. Thank you very much, Dr. Robert Joseph, because I feel empowered now. So I've got these two websites, and I know the content. I know it backwards and forwards. I'm putting that stuff up. But what was really interesting, I know my content, but now the back end, I understand what's going on behind, what makes the website work. Define for me what the front end is, and maybe a technical term more than I did, and the back end, so our listeners can truly understand there's two parts of the website.
Yeah, that's a good point. The front end is what everybody sees. That is the part when somebody types in www.bluelife.com, that's what people see. That's the front end. The back end is where you maintain that or where you run your office, and that's when you go to the administrative part of your website, and that's the part that nobody can get to without a username and login, and that's where you go. And you can make changes to your pages. You can add additional pages. You can add a membership-only section. You can add all those things on the back end or the administrative part of your website.
So that's where the magic happens.
Yes.
Okay. Now,
wave the magic wand and say poof.
Wow, it's there. I feel really so empowered now that I know the back end of stuff, and no longer am I enslaved by these IT professionals that will call you back in a year or two when you ask a simple question. That's another show. I won't hit that. But, okay, pictures.
Hey, you're talking about us.
No, I'm not talking. We're not talking about you, Robert, because you call me back.
Okay.
We're partners.
Yes, we are.
What about pictures? Pictures.
Oh, they say a picture paints 1,000 words, and it's so true. You put pictures up on websites and you put information there, and it just sort of crystallizes everything for people because they go, oh, yeah, that's why we have the video. You know, that's why we have pictures on our website, because people can then go, oh, yeah, now I understand what you mean. And in Website Baker, it is so easy to add pictures and also add photo galleries and things like that.
All right, so is there any other nice modules that can be used to promote, engage your audience and your visitors to your website?
There are a number of additional modules that can be used to really get people engaged in what it is that you're doing and help them to educate them. But one of the simple modules that is, standard with Website Baker is what we call a WYSIWYG module, and that stands for what you see is what you get.
That sounds like a 70s term. I'm dating myself.
I think it was in the 70s when they came up with it. But, Microsoft Word is a WYSIWYG editor. And what that means is that you lay out the page, and pretty much the way that it looks on the page is the way that it prints out. And that's what a WYSIWYG editor is for the web, is that in this editor, you lay out the page, and how you lay it out is pretty much the way it looks on your website. And if you can use Microsoft Word, you can use the WYSIWYG editor that comes with Website Baker. It's just amazing. I've been doing technology development for over 25 years and website development for, I think, over 12. And I got fed up with doing it all by hand and started looking for a content management system. And I went through about 80 content management systems until I found Website Baker. And so when I found Website Baker, I knew it was the right tool for me.
Okay, and you said content, and we mentioned what content management was again on the last conversation we had. But again, what is content management?
Yes, content management is I guess, the next iteration of being able to manage your website. And it allows you, in a very structured and systematic way, the ability to create pages, and manage your website. And the nice thing about content management systems is that, you know, I mentioned you don't need any software downloaded on your machine. Content management systems work in your browser generally. And so from anywhere in the world, as long as I have an internet connection and a browser, I can make changes to my website.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, like,
and
if
that's
I'm
true.
In Europe and I take some pictures and I do some stuff and I want to add those to my website, I go to an internet cafe, upload the pictures, write my blog, boom, there it is on my website for the whole world to see.
Now you don't have to call and promise.
Beg and plead and, yeah, no.
And we'll give you 50% increase in your salary if you do this for me.
Yeah.
Okay, what other modules are available in Website Baker? We had about 5 minutes left on this conversation, but what other modules are out there that you might want to talk about?
Well, there are a few other modules. There's like a form module, which allows you to do quizzes and surveys and things like that.
Oh, man, that's so very, very important. Okay.
It is, because you get to get feedback from your visitors and feedback from your customer, and that allows you to stay in tune with what they want, because it's so important in business, especially as fast as things are moving nowadays, that you want to continue to improve and give your customers and your potential customers things that they want. So getting feedback is invaluable to a business.
Go ahead.
Some of the other things with that is that you also want to use mass mailing. When people have said, you know, yes, I want to receive information from you, I want to get the latest thing that you're doing or talking about, then you can set up a mass mailing where it's like, all these people that have subscribed to me, I send them out a newsletter, or I send them out some additional information.
You know, I'm not using that, and I should be talking to you about that. I'm not using that. That's interesting.
I get mail from you almost every day, so
yeah,
you're using something to send out a lot of messages.
Okay, is there any other module that we should talk about before we wrap up? Because there's one other question I want to ask you, or maybe a couple more questions.
Not on modules, but I want to hit on a few other things, if I may.
Go ahead.
And I want to talk about that there's a whole set of other things on the web that you can take advantage of. And one that I hadn't mentioned is articles. If you are an expert in a particular field and you are writing a blog or doing something, you can repurpose that information. You can repurpose that blog that you wrote and turn it into an article. And there are a number of places on the web that you can publish these articles that other people will read. And in the byline of the article, you put your information.
I'm doing that too. I've got a lot of articles published.
I know.
So, that's interesting. What else?
So people will see you other places and then come back.
When they search for information and knowledge and topics, that your name pops up and you got your website there.
Yeah. And then some of the other things are we're starting to do some YouTube stuff. So actually the video that we did on Website Baker is on YouTube. And so people will see us on YouTube, and that will pull people back to our website. And we're starting to look at, you know, using MySpace and Facebook. A lot of companies are doing that now, getting on Facebook or getting on MySpace and using that as a means of advertisement or of pulling people back to their product or describing what it is that they do. Now, when you're using those social media aspects, you want to not be an advertiser. You actually want to get involved in that media, get involved in that community, get involved. So it should be something that is of interest to you. And that way, people, like you've always said, Ken, people buy from their friends more than they buy from people that they don't know.
Now, if people are listening to this, and we've got, I guess, less than a couple minutes, but we're running over a little bit, but I need to ask you a couple more questions.
Sure.
One is, you've already got a website. How do you integrate Website Baker into your present website? Do you get rid of the old website? How does that work?
It depends. It's very easy to move your present website into a website baker environment. So you can keep your same look and feel, but then just make it easier to maintain. So that's one way of doing that integration. Another way is to add another piece to your website that is a website baker piece that allows you to maintain that piece and do it separately. What we do is we look at each company and what each company's individual needs are, and then we'll give a recommendation on, okay, this is the best way to move from where you are to where we think you want to be.
And here's the money question. Website Baker, this open source software, is free. So if it's free, why do we need you, Robert, and your company?
That's a very fair question. One of the things that we do is that we set it up for people to make it easy for them to use, and we also teach them how to use it. So our goal is to get us out of the loop. We want to get people up and running as quickly as possible. Now, yeah, it's free. But it also takes a little time to understand how to use it and to understand maybe some of the subtleties about it. And you could go through that and learn it yourself, and we have no problem with that. However, if you're like most businesses and are on a time budget as well as a money budget, then you'll come to us and you'll say, hey, I've got this much to work with, I've got this much time, I need it right now, and we'll do it. So for instance, we were working with a company that had a web page, and it wasn't that great. And she knew it, but she said, I have investors that I need to talk to. I need a website that is multilingual, and I need it by tomorrow. Well, we did it. In about 3 hours, we built her a website that was multilingual, that was professional-looking, that had pictures that allowed her to take money over the web with PayPal and add a form.
Wow. Okay, so in wrapping up, Dr. Robert Joseph, why don't you give your contact information? How do we reach you if you want to know more about how to embrace technology and start making money?
All right. You can reach us at www.glulife.com, or you can send us email at robert@glulife.com, and we'd love to hear from you.
All right, and parting shots before I let you go put you on standby if you want to stay around for our next guest. What do you want listeners to take away from this conversation that we just had?
I want them to take away that it's now easy to have a web presence. It's easy to maintain your web presence, and it's easy to start to use or continue to use technology to forward your whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Wow, excellent. Hey, Robert, thank you very much for being on the program. I'm looking forward to continue to work with you. We've got some speaking engagements that we're going to do. But, hey, if you're not up on technology, if you feel you're being enslaved, controlled by IT professionals, give Robert a call.
All right.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much, and I'm out of here. You take care and have a good day.
All right, then. Thank you. That's part of the show. That's half the show. The next part of this program, we're going to talk about public relations, business crisis management with Jeff Caponegro. And he's got two offices, but we'll be right back. Play a little music and hold on. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good, Ken. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
All right.
I enjoyed that. That was a good guest, and that was interesting.
Yeah. We're gonna bring you up here in a few seconds. We're gonna go over, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
You see what's on my screen, everything. Welcome back. Glad you're still listening in. This is The Passion Entrepreneur. How are you doing? How's everybody? Wow, that was a pretty good half-hour show talking with Dr. Robert Joseph. This is Ken, The Passion Entrepreneur, your chief profitability officer, your profit evangelist, if you will. Thank you for continuing to listen in. What we do on the show is maximize your profits and your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices, the principles of profitability, and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. We want you to sit back, listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Get a pad and paper because you might learn something. Anyway, today we've got Jeff Caponegro on talking about crisis in business, how to manage a crisis in business. Let me ask you a couple questions before we go into this. Why do entrepreneurs need public relations expertise? Just for the listeners out there, let me pose some questions. So why do entrepreneurs need public relations expertise? You know, what are the trends? Now, how has the Internet impacted public relations? You know, hey, we got the Internet. Why do we need PR people? And how do you protect yourself, protect your business, and how do you reduce your risk from a possible crisis? You've heard about Dell Computer with the fiasco of, I guess, Indian support staff and how that quite wasn't working out. You've got Microsoft. Sometimes their software doesn't work as well as it should. And the Tylenol scare, perhaps I'm dating myself, that might have been in the 80s, I believe, I'm not sure, or 70s. Oprah Winfrey, she's had a crisis when she opened up a school in Africa, and there were some problems there. So, you know, when you have a business, you open yourself up to crisis. So we're going to talk with Jeff Caponegro. And now, Jeff is president and CEO of his public relations firm. He's got offices, not just one place, but two places, Tampa, Florida, and Southfield, Michigan, which is near and dear to my heart. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. He is known as one of the country's most respected public relations professionals and experts in crisis management. He's managed over, get this, 500 crisis situations throughout his 28-year career in public relations. Now, there's a lot of crisis. Jeff, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Great to be here, Ken. How are you doing
now, you're also author of The Crisis Counselor, a step-by-step guide in managing a business crisis.
Right.
Interesting. Why don't you give websites out for people who are listening in? They might want to...
If they want to check out a website on the book, it's at www.crisiscounselor.com. And if they want to check out anything about our company, they can, if they're from the Midwest, maybe the easiest way to do it would be to go into www.prmichigan.com. And if they're from sort of the southern part of the United States, they could go into www.prinflorida.com. So we invite your listeners to check those out.
And so it's there in this book. I understand that PR Week said it's one of the best books in PR.
Right.
Wow, I got to get a copy of that. So let's talk about public relations. How did you get started in public relations?
Well, I when I was in high school, actually in high school started, and in college, I was a thought I wanted to be a sports writer. So I was a reporter and ended up being a columnist and thought that's what I wanted to do. I grew up during the time when I think you and I are sort of close to the same age, but remember the movie All the President's Men came out with about Watergate, and then everyone wanted to be an investigative reporter. And I ended up deciding I sort of didn't want to be a sports writer after all, even though one of my sports columns got picked for a book called The Best Sports Stories of 1978. And I was in there with Pulitzer Prize winners from Sports Illustrated and the New York Times and elsewhere. So I was off to a good start in that if I wanted to do it. But I decided I wanted to become more of an investigative reporter and then sort of literally stumbled into being hired as an I majored in English and journalism and ended up working for an advertising agency doing advertising and public relations, and then ended up getting hired a year after that into one of the country's top PR firms, and sort of learned on the job that way, and quickly rose up. I was I became a VP, a vice president there of it was one of the top 30 largest PR firms in the country when I was 25 years old. So I moved up really quickly, and then
sort of ended up becoming the CEO of a PR firm, I think when I was 30, and then have been doing that, and I've had my own PR firm now for, about 13 years.
So why is it that you enjoy it so much, this public relations?
Well, there's so many aspects to it. I think what I realized in my career is that I wanted to do something that had a lot of variety to it, and that was interesting, and that allowed me to sort of learn a lot, and I wasn't doing the same things over and over. And I also wanted, obviously, to use whatever skills I had. Part of the skill base that you have to have in public relations is you have to be a good writer. You have to write to be able to write like a journalist would write. You have to have a good understanding of the news media to know how the media thinks. So much of our job, not all of it, but so much of it relates to the media, and how do you persuade the media, for instance, to maybe write a positive story about your client, about something, or if it's crisis related, how do you sort of think about what the media might be looking for in a crisis, and then therefore what's the best way to manage the crisis, and how communicative should we be, and some of those sorts of things that I'm sure we'll talk about later in terms of how to manage a crisis situation.
Right.
But I found it to be a really very fascinating sort of business. And unlike in advertising, let's say if I worked for an advertising agency, which I did do right out of college, the advertising agency, like I was an account executive at the time, and, you know, you have a creative department, and you have a production department, and you have a mail room, and you have all these different departments, and all you do is basically interact with the client as sort of the conduit between all of those different departments. In public relations, we're everything. We're the creative department. We're the counselor. We've got to come up with the ideas, the strategy, that we have to implement it, and everything else. I find that very challenging, and it's been a lot of fun.
Now, I want to ask you this other question. We kind of just jumped into public relations. Define for me what public relations is.
Well, the way I like to look at public relations, there are a lot of definitions of it. I like to think of it as everyone, as individuals, and every company or business, no matter what you have, we all have reputations. We all have relationships with different publics. Another word for publics would be audiences or stakeholders. People who are important to us. And when you have those relationships and you have the reputation sort of whether you like it or not. So what public relations does is it is the management process or the function that looks at how do you enhance the reputations that you have and how do you come across well. And that may involve a number of different strategies from being very visible to in a positive way, being communicative, what's the most effective way to communicate, what are the key messages that I want to reinforce, how do I answer certain questions when they come up, which audiences are most important to me or publics, is it employees, customers, prospects, elected officials, people in the community, shareholders, the news media, whoever it might be, and who's the best spokesperson? Who's the most appropriate person to express our messages and to communicate to us? And how do we go about that? And all of that becomes so much of what public relations is, and it's just really this management function of not just letting your reputation or these relationships just sort of happen ad hoc and whatever happens, happens. But it's really the way of how to control those. And really the most effective businesses have a very comprehensive public relations program that is used where all of this is very strategic. And that's what I've been doing for almost 30 years.
But I have another question, and I'm thinking Dell Computer, Microsoft, Oprah Winfrey, you know, large companies, yeah, they need public relations. When do you know that you need a public relations coach or expert to assist you in your business?
Well, you need the public relations expertise no matter what kind of business you have and no matter how small you might be. And, in fact, an argument could be made that you need that expertise even more as a startup or as an entrepreneur, someone who is building and growing a company, even more than you do when you're maybe a little bit more of a mature company. And what I mean by that is that so much of it, from a strategic standpoint, is first and foremost thinking through, how do I want to position this company? What makes us different? What makes us distinctive? What will make us stand out from our competition? How communicative should we be, and how much is too much? And you know, what are the messages we want to convey? Who are the right people to do that? Is it through the news media? Is it through what we might be doing online in the internet? Is it through some other allies that we might have or that we need to develop? And all of that is so important to build a reputation and also to make sure that you're protected if and when you do have a crisis situation. I talk about it in my book, The Crisis Counselor, the insulating a home. It's the process of, you may have heard the expression of establishing goodwill for a company, building up a goodwill bank, if you will, so you have a good reputation and when you need help or you need the benefit of the doubt or you need somebody to come to your aid, say, in a little crisis or a problem that might be. And that's really that's important. I call it like it's like insulating a house. You'd never even think about building a home without having a good, strong base of insulation to protect you from extreme cold or extreme hot. And to go into a business, no matter how small, without this thought of building up a reputation, making sure that I'm doing it strategically and not just letting it happen, is really the most important thing.
That sounds very interesting because it seems like those are some of the questions I ask my coaching clients when I'm asking, you know, what makes you unique? You know, how do you separate yourself? How do you differentiate yourself from the competition? What are the products and services that kind of jump out there? So that's real interesting that you do that. I was amazed. Public relations is... Okay, now, so affordability. You know, you're a small business person or you're trying to grow this business. How affordable is PR expertise?
Well, it's a lot more affordable than in many cases, some other forms of marketing and advertising. Let's say that a business put up a billboard.
I see that all the time. A business will put a billboard on a busy highway. They'll put an ad in the newspaper or the magazine. They put run TV and radio ads.
Right.
You know, so how does PR compare to, or public relations compare to advertising?
Well, let me use an example. Let's say a major daily newspaper, whether it be Atlanta or Dallas or Detroit or Denver or whatever, in a market like that, let's say you were going to run a 3/4-page ad in one of their daily newspapers, and you wanted some color in it so that, you know, people would notice it. Not even a full-page ad, but let's say it's 3/4. That ad would probably cost somewhere between, $15,000 and $25,000. With a public relations firm, even with a public relations firm like ours, for $500 to $7,500 a month, you can really achieve a lot. So, in other words, you could do 4, 5, 6 months worth of work with a public relations firm, helping you think through, the strategies that we talked about, positioning, branding. And then helping you go out there in a credible way to talk with the news media about your company. In most cases, they're media that the firm has really great relationships with. I know, like our firm, Caponegro Public Relations, when we contact a journalist or an editor and say, hey, we've got a, we really do have a good story that we think that you might be interested in, they listen to us because they know that it's gone through sort of a screening process ourselves before we would even do that, and our reputation's on the line. We don't want to get turned down. Every now and then we do, but we don't like to do that. So we're not going to go to the media unless we really feel like we have a good story. And people would be surprised. I think there was a study that was done a couple of years ago that looked at the Wall Street Journal, and I think it was something like on average 92% of what appears in the Wall Street Journal in terms of articles somehow involved a public relations person.
Really?
Yeah.
So I guess people should really analyze, and I do this all the time, you got to look at your return on investment and what you're doing, whether it's your business operations, your sales, advertising, because the return on investment you'll find in advertising is pretty low. And so what I hear you saying is that public relations, that expertise can really have a great impact on your bottom line, good return on investment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I know that when we work with clients, that and many of them are sort of smaller to medium-sized businesses as well, that whatever they spend with us, I always say that if we don't get that back for you three or four or five times in terms of the amount of business that you're going to get, then neither of us are going to feel good about it, and we're not going to consider that a success. That typically, if they pick up one client out of it, it more than pays for our whole year. And in advertising, you can go through that budget in a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you another question. What are the trends in public relations, and how is – well, let me – I've got a number of questions before we run out of time. What are some of the trends in public relations that you're seeing?
Well,
probably the crisis management.
Well, just to kind of generally about public relations first, and then maybe we can talk about crisis in there, obviously, as a crossover effect here, that so much of what's changed in our business has to do with technology and has to do with the Internet and the way communications has occurred over the years. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I think it was CNN just celebrated its 25th anniversary. But I think about when I started in the business, there were no computers per se. There were computers, but they were like mainframe computers that only huge corporations
right.
had. You didn't have a desk PC or anything.
Right.
So the there were only ABC, CBS, NBC, some daily newspapers. It was so much of it was daily newspaper oriented and radio stations and that sort of thing. And a few networks, and that's what you had in terms of news being spread and that sort of thing. Nowadays, you have not only the proliferation of an immense amount of news media internationally and the competition that is out there, the segmentation of the media with so many different types of media for every little quirky little thing that there might be from, there are magazines, for instance, on anything you can think of these days, and obviously there are websites on anything you can think of as well. But so you have that where, let's say something happens, both good or bad, in the United States, that gets spread to Europe or Asia or whatever in the matter of minutes. Back 20 years ago, it may take forever or may never ever even get to those areas. But even a bigger thing than just the media has been what's happened in terms of what I would call non-journalistic media, non-filtered media, and that is all the blogs,
right.
all the chat rooms, all the online sites, rogue websites that people set up. There are so many different ways. Back 20-some years ago, if you had a disgruntled employee or a customer, and they were mad at you, they might send you a nasty letter, or they might, I suppose, send a letter to the editor of the daily newspaper or something like that. Nowadays, they might set up a whole Internet website against you.
Oh.
They go into blogs, industry blogs, and there are obviously...
They do a video.
Yeah, they do a video, put on YouTube, and they do podcasts, and all of the other things that just absolutely can steamroll a business. So it's so important to be upfront and anticipate issues and problems and situations, and recognize that almost every crisis that happens in a business is preceded by some sort of a warning sign. There's almost always something that happens that maybe you kind of ignored it, or kind of hoping it was kind of going to go away, you know.
Yeah, business owners, they're trying to focus in on the bottom line. They're trying to beat the competition, you know, make a profit. Now I got to anticipate and be proactive in this stuff.
No doubt about it. Business is so much more complex these days, related to reputation and visibility, controlling your message, controlling the positioning and the brand. The fact of the matter is, you know, it can take years and decades even to build up a good positive reputation, and a good positive reputation can be lost in one day.
Chris Anderson talks about this. I was up last night, and he was being interviewed. Chris Anderson is the editor of Wired magazine. He wrote the book The Long Tail. I recommend everybody, listeners, to read that book. But he talks about there's different types of economies, and there's an attention economy, me, me, me. That's kind of like the YouTube. It's the blogs. It's the that kind of and online social networks.
Right.
That are out there promoting, and then you've got, and he also mentioned what you're talking about is the reputation economy.
Yeah,
it's your kind of reputation that you have to protect and maintain. So, how does public relations handle that? How are you proactive in that?
Well, first of all,
let me step back. There's one other question.
Sure.
If you've got all this stuff, if you're participating in online networks, you've got the blog, you've got the podcast, the YouTube stuff out there, isn't that enough? Why do we have to have public relations in there too?
Well, first of all, you can have a whole bunch of different kinds of tactical things out there, if you will. But you could have the nicest car in the world, but if you don't really know where you're driving, or where you want to get to, how do you even know what road to take? So first and foremost, the help in getting a good public relations person to help is an experienced one, is to step back and look at what do we want to be? What do we want people to know us as? What do we want to be known for? What makes us different? What's our value proposition? Why would anyone want to work with us? So you have to have that down first, and then you have to say, how are we perceived right now? Maybe we're not perceived at all because maybe nobody knows us. Maybe we're new or we're a growing business. Or maybe people know us, but we're known as such and such. So what's the gap between those two things? And what do we need to do to start changing perceptions? I always say that if they're truly just perceptions, well, then they're a lot easier to change. But if there's some reality in there, you've got to fix the reality first, then changing the perception. What do we want to be known as? And if we were someone else, are we the type of business that we would want to work with? So it's the strategic part of it first that has to be done. Then it's the, once we have that done, then it's what's the most effective way to communicate with all these different audiences that are so very important to the success of our business? And do we know what those audiences are? What do we know about them? And what do we know about how they're gaining information, and let's find out the best way to communicate those. And are we then, once we do know those, and maybe we say, okay, well, one of the ways is to have a good website, like your previous guest. Well, but what are we saying in that website, and what, how easy are we making it for someone to learn about us, and how much is too much information? All of those sorts of things. But the other part of what your question was, Ken, was, you also have to monitor those media. You have to know what people are saying about you. And
absolutely.
And there are some very good ways to monitor the media these days, and to stay on top of all of that. And again, not for every business do they care about the whole world. They might only care about their little city that they work in, their town that they work in. But even so, what are people who we care about, how do they feel about us? You know, research plays a big part in what we do as well, and the most effective public relations programs have some sort of a very meaningful research component to them, maybe both at the outset of a program, establishing baseline, really making sure that we understand how people, what people know about us, and then later on as a measurement tool, are we moving the needle? Are we really making progress? Which of our messages are getting across and which ones really aren't? And what do we need to do to tweak our strategies and our approaches to be more successful? But to do it right, and I think a lot of people are probably surprised, maybe that are listening to this, may be surprised to think, God, I never knew that was what public relations was.
Right.
I always thought it was sort of like just media coverage, like when you hear that's good PR. But it's actually a lot more than that.
Let's talk about business crisis. Let's really get into that. I know we're at the 10 o'clock. Do we have a little bit more time to work with you?
Sure.
Talk with you about
Absolutely.
This? Okay. Business crisis. Let's talk. How do we know, first of all, what is a business crisis? And how does the owner know when he or she is in trouble? So what is a business crisis?
Well, I think a business crisis is really any event or activity that has the potential to negatively affect the reputation or credibility of a business. And a crisis is typically a situation that kind of could go either way. In the Chinese language, in Mandarin, there are two symbols that make up the word crisis. And one of them is danger, and the other one is opportunity. And so when you have a crisis, again, your listeners may be surprised to know that sometimes crises actually can become positive for the company.
Really?
Yeah, in a way, if it's managed correctly, if it's a way of sort of getting even stronger bonds sometimes with your employees or with your customers or people who are going to rally behind your company, if it's managed correctly. And there are a few ways, if you'd like, we can talk later about how do you manage a crisis well. But a crisis is one where you've got a problem, and you're either going to handle it well or you're not. And some do, and most don't.
Now, sir, your agency has been named as one of the top five best crisis and issues management firms by the Holmes Report. How do you know, how does he or she know when they're in trouble?
Well, you typically know when, there are these warning signs. And many times businesses know about the warning signs, but they kind of hope that no one else is going to find out about them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start realizing they have a problem is when they see a pattern of criticism or these red flags that are waving. It might be,
okay.
It could be in a number of things. It could be
okay.
A number of complaints that they're getting from customers. It could be all of a sudden some media calls that they're getting from reporters saying, hey, I understand you have this problem. Or it really could be some sort of catastrophic sort of event that clearly, oh, geez, you know, this has happened. Now how are we going to handle it? But I'll tell you, a lot of the crises that I get involved in have a lot to do with litigation, and attorneys are involved, and possible lawsuits or recalls or problems like that, that sort of you can see it coming, and then it's a matter of when this comes out, what are we going to say about it, how are we going to handle it to make sure that our reputation doesn't get damaged any more than it needs to.
Okay, so you mentioned that there in the Crisis Counselor, your book, there's a 7-step process. Can you briefly describe the 7 steps?
Sure. The first part is, and by the way, before I wrote this book, The Crisis Counselor, there were a few books on crisis management out there, but they were all related to what happens after the crisis happens. What you should do. They were all related to disaster control or crisis communications after the fact. I really felt like businesses, no matter how big or small, really need to do so much more on the front end to avoid a crisis, and or if the crisis were to happen, how they can make sure that they can move quickly and decisively and effectively once the crisis occurs. Because there's no way to manage a crisis well unless you're prepared in advance. There just isn't. You're gonna lose it every time if you're not prepared in advance. So basically what I did is in the crisis counselor is I spelled what I thought, based on my experience, that mistakes that companies made it involved what I thought the most effective way to handle a crisis was these seven steps. And the first step is identifying and assessing the vulnerabilities in a company. You know, if we were to have a crisis, what would it be in? And again, it depends on you know, how you might do that. But in my book, I give a lot of examples about how you would do identify vulnerabilities. The second step is to, it always sounds very obvious, but how do you prevent the vulnerabilities from turning into crises? You know, what can you do to sort of notice the warning signs and to do something about them in advance? Number three is actually planning for a crisis. You'd be amazed by how many things can be done in advance of a crisis. If you think about what would we need if a crisis were to occur, once you've identified your vulnerabilities, you might figure there are three or four different things that if we were to have a crisis, this is what it would be in. What would we need to have? And, you know,
that's
again,
number three. And what is number four?
Four is identifying when a crisis has occurred and how to take immediate action. What are the first few things that you would do? Number five is communicating most effectively during a crisis. And this is, again, how do you make sure that your employees are communicated with, the media, and all the other, your customers, and that sort of thing, all the other publics that are so important. Number six is monitoring and evaluating the crisis, sort of making adjustments along the way, recognizing that no matter how effective you might be in communicating, there are probably things that you could do even better. And then you know, that's really what number six is. And then number seven is sort of what we had talked about before, which was this insulating the business, things that you ought to do on an ongoing basis to make sure that you have enough goodwill, or what I call goodwill insulation, build up in your company so that people will give you the benefit of the doubt. They'll come to your aid. If you have a great reputation and you know, you have a little problem, they're much more apt to say, you know what, that's a great company. I'm sure they're handling it well, or let's give them a little bit of time, or maybe I'll step up and see if I can help them in some way. If you have a horrible reputation, they're more likely to say, I knew it. I could have told you they were going to have a crisis. I'm not surprised at all.
Interesting seven steps. So you've talked about the seven steps that you use. What are some of the biggest mistakes, and I may have one other question as we wrap up this interview. I appreciate you for staying on with us. What are some of the biggest mistakes made by entrepreneurs?
Well, the first one is that they just don't think about these things in advance. They get so busy planning and so many other ways. And I talk in my book, The Crisis Counselor, I talk about the crisis counselor mindset, which is really thinking about these things in advance, so that planning them. And then, but typically, if they're not, they don't have things planned in advance, they move too slowly. And when a crisis does happen, get put on the defensive. They fail to communicate with the people who they ought to communicate with. In some cases, they end up misleading, either intentionally or inadvertently misleading, or maybe even looking like they're even lying and being dishonest, which is...
Yeah, because they're not experts at this stuff.
Right, and that's the worst thing you can do. You know, the first and foremost principle of managing a crisis well is being honest. Now, that doesn't mean you have to communicate everything.
And Oprah Winfrey did this.
Yeah.
She was honest. She was up front. She did a press conference. She was very quick at doing it.
Exactly. Get on it quickly. Move on it quickly. You know, get down your messages. You know, and make sure that you come out of the gate fast and prove to people that you have the crisis under control. And that is so important. So, this, you know, and then obviously there are some other mistakes that companies make too, like they say no comment to the media, which is like the worst thing you can say.
Okay.
Because when somebody says no comment, you automatically think that they're guilty.
Okay, really? All right. So as we wrap up this interview, what do you really want entrepreneurs to know about establishing and protecting their reputations in their business, even when they're in a startup phase through as they continue to grow?
Well, first and foremost, they have to realize that your reputation of your business and yourself is the most important asset that you have. If you don't have a good reputation, no one's going to want to work with you. I mean, you're not going to be able to keep or hire any employees. Certainly there aren't going to be any customers. So, and if you do have a business, it eventually is going to dry up and sort of blow away in the wind if you don't have a good reputation. So the reputation is critical, and that a reputation just shouldn't sort of happen ad hoc, but it ought to be managed. It ought to be from the beginning. Who do we want to be? What do we want to be known as? How do we accomplish that? Who are the stakeholders or the publics or the audiences that are most important to us? All of those things, doing it in a strategic way, and that you have control over this. And that this is literally the most important asset and decision that you have in your company. It's what do we want to be known as and what kind of reputation do we want? And do I need any help to make sure that I'm doing the right things in this area? And, there are good help. There's good help around the country and around the world.
Obviously, you're one of them.
Yeah, and this is what we do, yeah.
Yeah, public relations. I've got a new understanding and appreciation for public relations. Thank you, Jeff. Now, if we're listening to you right now, how do we reach out? How do we get in contact with you?
Well, let me give your listeners my email address, and they would be
careful now.
Yeah, if they want to communicate with me, they can feel free. I have it listed in my book, so I invite people to send me an email, and I've enjoyed getting emails from all around the world. My book is now in 5 different languages, my book, The Crisis Counselor, and I invite people to send me an email, and I'm at jcap@capnegro.com, which is capnegro.com. And the easiest way, too, is to go in and to crisiscounselor.com, and they can see my book there and find a way to communicate with me through that as well.
And your company websites, where are those again?
Yeah, again, those are at prmichigan.com and prinflorida.com.
All right, then, Jeff, thank you so very much for being on the show. Really appreciate you, and I learned so much. I want to encourage listeners, if you don't have your PR Act, your Public Relations Act together, you need to be proactive, not reactive. Thank you again, Jeff.
Great, Ken. Thank you very much.
All right. So that is the show. What have you learned today? And more importantly, how will you apply what you've learned? Specifically, what action steps will you implement to improve your business and improve your profitability? I guess call Jeff, call Robert. So if you're looking for a second opinion, you want to maximize your business opportunity, you want to learn best practices, the principles of profitability, you come to the right place. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your profit evangelist, your chief profitability officer. Oh, if you have a question, you got a guest idea, a topic of interest, feel free to contact us via the podcast email. And so with E3C, you have access to 300 profit and sales ideas, over 60 different courses and subjects. We've got quizzes, surveys, forms, over 25 business and sales aids. Last year, we connected over 500 businesses, business-to-business connections. And every Tuesday, we meet online from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. So if you're interested in connecting with passionate entrepreneurs, maybe we can get Jeff on that program, on that session. If you're interested in contacting or connecting with other passionate entrepreneurs, contact me via the webpage. So if you're listening to this program, whether it's Blog Talk Radio or my podcast page, please rate, comment on the show. We'd love to hear from you. Let me know how I'm doing. And so if you like this podcast, above all, share it with a friend, a business associate who wants to improve their business and their profitability. Don't forget to check out the website, Smart Advantage Coaching, my coaching website, e3c.podomatic, which is my podcast, my TypePad, which is my blog, e3c.typepad.com, and my wiki. I can go on and on. Definitely check out the Business Online Network, mybusinesscommunity.ning.com. That's mybusinesscommunity.ning.com. As we take it out, one more thing. Dare to be great. Be remarkable. Be extraordinary. And above all, stay profitable. Let me put the music on by Brian Hundley of New Wine Music. So then again, no music. We're out of time. We're going to go ahead and cut it off. So take care. Above all, stay profitable, and we'll see you next time.